you know, ego in a man is very big. Yeah. You know, you've been around locker rooms and you know what it's like, ego and the loud talking. And that's a three-letter word, ego, easing God out. Mm. And that's what most guys end up doing. They ease God out of their life and they play God for themselves.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com or on our Family Life app.
This is Family Life Today.
After 33 seasons of working in the NFL as a chaplain, one of the things we've seen, I think, is that so many players find their identity in their job.
Absolutely.
It's almost like they do not know who they are apart from that identity.
And we've had a chance to work with both the husbands and the wives. And the divorce rate among pro athletes is about 85%. And a lot of times that divorce doesn't come until after they're done playing. And I think part of the reason is because apart from their sport, these guys don't know who they are.
Yeah, it's been their identity their whole life. And I hate to admit this, but when I finished playing, just college ball, but when I finished playing and I became the chaplain of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, I would be introduced. They didn't say All-American quarterback. They didn't say any of that. They just said, hey, Dave Wilson, he's on staff with Athletes in Action. And I literally didn't know who I was apart from that. So I said to Ann one night, this is so embarrassing. Hey, you know, when I'm introduced, nobody knows I'm actually somebody. I did something. So could you throw it in? Because I can't go, hey, I was a... So could you just throw it in and say, hey, and my husband...
Because a minister sounds pretty lame compared to...
So... Tell them what you did.
I did that.
Yeah, how bad
is
that?
Okay, honey, I'll help you.
But you talk about not knowing identity. It was totally tied to something I did on a football field. It's ridiculous. Well, we have a couple with us today who has the title of an incredible sports legacy, but it's not their identity. Daryl Strawberry and his wife Tracy are with us. Many already know Daryl from Major League Baseball. I bet they don't know Tracy, and she is dynamite.
Yeah, and so welcome to Family Life Today.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here. I mean, you played 17 years in the league, All-Star games, World Series titles. You know, in 30 years with the Lions, you know, I didn't ever get to a Super Bowl. Anyway, it's a whole other thing.
But
you
he's
actually
not whining.
Got there. You got there. You got to the very top. And you've written a book Written a book called Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. And I got to be honest, the first time I heard that Daryl Strawberry had become a Christian, I was that skeptic.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I've heard, you know, the pro athlete, the celebrity, the movie star gave his life to Christ. We'll see how long that lasts. I got to be honest, that was my first thought. And then when I met you, not just here, but in other places, and then I heard your testimony, I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is the real deal. This man's... He loves Jesus. I mean, I don't want to offend you with that, but have you ever heard that before?
It doesn't, you know, because a lot of people think that way.
Yeah.
You know, how could that happen? You know, from the lifestyle he had, the brokenness of who he was and what we saw, the headlines and the stories and the jail, you know, the arrest, you know, just so many different things. And people saying, there's no way, there's no way. And now he's all of a sudden he's talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Of course, a lot of my teammates thought that way, too, former teammates. They were like, well, let's see how long this will last. Well, it's been about 19 years now. And we've still been walking with Jesus. And it's a great walk. It's not a man's transformation.
Mm.
It's God's transformation. And see, when we experience that in our life for real and we don't straddle the fence, and don't be a hypocrite no more, and talking about Jesus and just saying his name and knowing his power, which is far greater than just knowing his name. I think too many, you know, professional people have that, oh, yeah, praise God, thank God, glory to God, but they never have that real transformation encounter with Christ. And so I came to that place where I had that encounter with Christ for real, and I really... I'm so grateful that I had the encounter and just didn't know his name anymore. Because we have the wrong identity because we've been built with this, you know, identity of who we are and what we do instead of you know, who we are and the character of who we are. It's two different places, you know, that people go to. You know, what we do has nothing to do with character.
Yeah.
It's a big difference in the character of a man, because the character of a man, when he comes to know God, he starts to shape his life in God's plan, and he becomes a different person. He walks a different way, he talks a different way, he acts a different way. And so a lot of the guys that I play with, they're still waiting for me to come back.
Yeah.
They're still hanging out. He's like, oh, he'll be back one day. Well, I think some of them are truly convinced that he's not coming back.
Yeah.
You know, he's gone. He's really serious about...
He's a new creation.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Born of a different spirit, you know, live a different way, you know, and understand the biblical principles and live according to that. I always tell him, it doesn't make me better than anyone. I just made a final decision that I was going to follow Jesus. I was going to deny myself. I was going to pick up my cross, and I was going to follow Jesus. And that's what a real believer becomes about, when he denies himself. So it's no longer about me. You know, ego in a man is very big.
Yeah.
You know, you've been around locker rooms, and you know what it's like, ego and the loud talking, and that's a three-letter word, ego, easing God out.
Mm.
And that's what most guys end up doing. They ease God out of their life, and they play God for themselves. And they run raggedy until it's over and nowhere else to go. And hopefully it's not too late that they can look up, just like I was able to before it was too late. And what I mean by too late, when you're dead, you can't find him. You know, people always say, well, how did you find Jesus? Jesus never been lost. What do you mean, how did I find Jesus?
He's
not lost.
He's waiting on
you. He's just waiting for you. He's waiting for you to come and make a commitment, you to surrender yourself to him. He's always been waiting for you. He always will be waiting for you. So hopefully more guys who play professional sports will have that encounter. Mm-hmm. And you know why they play sports, or after they're done playing sports, but hopefully they get to that place of having that encounter with Christ so they can identify themselves as the right person.
We'll talk about a little bit the new creation part, because we've already talked about, you know, you get to the bigs, you end up addicted, you've and $3 million in debt, you're sort of in the gutter. And when you said that, I thought, oh, he's just talking about, no, you're almost like literally in the gutter. Mm. And Tracy and you walk into each other's lives at a rehab center, right?
A convention.
Rehab convention, where you're both there to try and get your broken lives back together. Talk about what happened then, because Tracy, really, you had a major impact.
And Tracy, you were at a point where you were about to lose custody of your kids.
Yes.
Because of your own addiction, but you had given your life to Christ.
Yes.
And you wanted to follow him and begin anew.
Yes.
And so you walk into this convention, you see Daryl, mm-hmm. and you see something. And something that we had talked about earlier, something his mom saw.
Mm-hmm.
She saw the greatness. She had been praying for years, and you saw the same thing.
Yes, I saw the same thing. And it's amazing where God will keep placing his message in your life through different people over and over and over again. The same message that Daryl's mom had for him was the same message that God put into me.
Yeah.
Because even though his mother crossed over, because a Christian never dies, his message will never die. Mm. It's not just going to stop there. He's going to send someone else to speak that same life and truth into your life.
Mm.
I didn't know at the time it was going to be me, because I was very rough around the edges. I was brand new saved, not knowing what saved was. I was tough. I was strong, rough around the edges, working out my own walk with Christ. And I came to a crossroads in my own walk with Jesus, thinking, okay, well, I got saved. I'm no longer doing drugs. I'm not drinking alcohol anymore. Lord, I'm trying to live for you. So surely I will win the custody case. And for sure, because I'm a good girl now, and because I'm living right, my reward is going to be pray whatever you ask in Jesus' name and you will get.
Mm.
So I have this idea that I'm going to have custody of my children, and that doesn't happen. Mm. But this, I want somebody to hear this, because this happens along the way in everyone's life. And this is where you learn real biblical truth and real biblical faith. This defined my faith. I had a choice to make. Was I going to walk away from Christ, or was I going to run into him with my anger and my emotion and everything I didn't understand? I made the right choice. I ran into him.
Even though you didn't get what you wanted at that time.
Even though I didn't get what I wanted at the time. And I share that story because that's very important, going back to Daryl and I, when he and I met, and letting your faith evolve in the midst of the hardship, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of what doesn't make sense, in the midst of your pain, in the waiting. When you're in the waiting and you're weary and you're hurt and the expectation is there and you're being crushed over and over and over again, what do you do? And Daryl and I were going through this within our relationship because we were trying to love each other, but we weren't equipped to love each other. We were wounded. We were making each other pay the price for our wounds. We were making each other pay the price for all the past that we were bringing in. We had a whole lot of story, but we didn't have the love of the Savior. Mm. We had a whole lot of story and a whole lot of past that we could sit around and talk long hours about, but there was no power. Mm. There was earthly passion, even lustful passion, but there was not the obedience of Christ in us.
And Daryl, were you a believer at that point?
I was. I was lost in the midst of who I was and everything. And I got saved in 91 at a crusade. And I knew the Bible. And I was using drugs. And I was teaching her the Bible. And I was telling her, stay with the Bible. Don't go back like I did. I'd stay in the Word, you know, because I said, if you go back, you're going to be tormented. And she saw the torment of me. So she realized that there was no reason to go back. She just let me go. And we didn't know if we were going to be together. We didn't know what our plans were or anything. We just really had to let go and let God be God in the process, because we didn't stay together.
Yeah.
And because I was still, you know, the bad boy. And she had to let me go, and I had to go on my journey, and I had to go on my journey to get well. And I went to my sister's house, Regina, and I stayed with her three kids in a two-bedroom apartment. And I got on my journey and got well with God. I went there. I stopped using drugs. I stopped having sex. I stopped doing smoking cigarettes. I stopped doing all these different things. And I just saturated myself in the Word of God for, you know, 6 months. And then God sent me back to marry Tracy and do it right and go back and start. And we started on the journey with nothing. And I always say, people say, well, what do you call God's plan for your life? God's plan, he rescued me, he redeemed me, and he restored me. And that's what he does. Hmm. If you walk out his plan, not your plan, everybody wants it their way. But me and Tracy finally realized that it didn't have to be our way. It needed to be God's way. And if we put it in God's hand and trusted God like we said we trusted God and understand the Bible like you understand the Bible, now you can fulfill the life that God wants you to have together as one. It can't be, you know, there's no I in team, you know, and people need to understand that for a team to come together, marriage is a team.
Yeah.
And for a team to come together to win, it cannot be about I. It has to be about us, and we have to walk through these things together, and we walk through that whole process together.
I'm curious. Take me back to 1991. You give your life to Christ. Was there any discipleship along the way after that?
No, that was the part I missed right there. I got radically saved at this crusade, and I accepted Christ, and I had this moment, like everybody comes down to the altar, they have this moment, but then what's next? Most people don't get discipled. They don't go through the discipleship. You missed that part. That is the most important part for one to receive, is the discipleship part, so he can grow and he can understand who he is in Christ. And if you don't, I remember I had just signed the biggest contract of my life, $20 million contract. I should have been happy. I'm at this crusade. I'm crying, and I get radically saved. The power of God come over, and then what happens? I don't get discipled. I run into the wall at Dodger Stadium and dislocate my shoulder. This is my first year, my first season. Dislocate my shoulder, and the next day they padded the wall the next day. But it was like it was a little too late for the padding on the wall, because I ran and dislocated my shoulder, and I'm out the first half of that season. And I just saw all the text that came with me getting saved, you know. And I remember the press and the media talking about, look at him, he's passive, he doesn't play with the passion anymore like he played in New York, and I wasn't being aggressive. It was just so many things being said about me. Oh, he's gone into this religion, you know, he's gone into this Jesus thing, you know, and he's not going to be the same player. So, you know, it was a real struggle, and it was a real battle for me. So without discipleship, that was a good question. Without discipleship, I went running. After I ran into the wall, dislocated my shoulder, I went back to drinking and womanizing. And I went running for another 15 years or so.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to go back to this. We had talked at one point where Tracy did say you're knocking on the door, telling him to get out. What was that?
Yes, yes. When he would relapse and still use drugs, no one could find him. But because I came out of that life, I knew where to look. And I would find him. You know, he would steal my car. So I would find him and go looking for him. Just something in me would just say, you have to find him. He's going to die out there if you don't go get him.
Jesus going after the one, leaving the 99 and going after the one.
That's
You're
exactly
like Jesus
right.
going after
That's
him.
That's right. Yes, I would go and I would find him. And I think this was the beauty of my salvation. Most people are very zealous when they first get saved. There's this supernatural power of the Holy Spirit that is in you. Even if you don't know what it is and you can't define it, it pushes you into wanting to do good and wanting to do great. You already start to look at life differently.
Yeah.
So when Daryl is in this, I'm like, he needs to be rescued. And going down and banging down these doors. But I was also very rough around the edges. So I was banging down the doors and wanting to fight everybody inside, too. So
I could see that.
God wasn't like, can you imagine this mouth and this personality unbridled through the Holy Spirit? No. And going in and pulling him out and telling him, get in the car. But then there was this one time I'm going and I'm pulling him out and he's with this lady in her apartment and the Holy Spirit just comes over me because I want to fight her. Literally, and I'm being serious, but here's a move of God. Even when you're a baby Christian, you don't understand. And I just look at her with compassion and sorrow. And I pointed at her and I said, and you don't have to live this way either. And she starts crying. And I said, Jesus loves you. I'm still trying to figure out what that means. I came out of the life that you're living and you can do it too. And I found out years later that she did follow up on that.
Really?
And she came out of the life and she was a powerhouse for Christ after that.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, listening to your story, obviously here you are sitting. I mean, there's part of me, it's like, I can barely believe, you know, where you were. Which is the beauty of the gospel.
Praise God.
That's what he does. He
yes.
doesn't just, you know, rehabilitate people. He redeems from darkness to light, from lost to found, from death to life.
Yes.
I mean, I'm looking at two living new creatures in Christ. And does that mean you don't struggle? Are there still struggles?
Those life struggles are over for us, you know, because 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I tell people, you cannot get to the new if you're holding on to the old. And so many people want to get to the new. So many Christians want to get to the new, but they hold on to the old. If I coulda, shoulda, whatever it was, it's old. You got to let it go. And I realize that, you know, in our walk with Christ, is we have been redeemed. And the reason why I say that is because I don't sit here. My wife don't sit here. We're not a victim. We're overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. And you have to know that. You have to know that through the word of God. I think so many people want victory, but they don't want to do what you need to do to get victory.
Yeah.
You got to do the work to get some victory.
Yeah.
And when you get the victory, then you taste and see that the Lord is good. Then you know for sure that I don't need to taste anything else. The Bible, I said, you can wake up every day to this here and feed yourself a good meal. And I think so many Christians struggle because they don't feed themselves, and they feed themselves with social media, the television news, is all the things that are going on in our society instead of empowering themselves with God's great wisdom and knowledge. Because if you get that, the Bible talks about it clearly. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. And that's why I was perishing so much, because I didn't have that knowledge. I didn't have kingdom knowledge, had earthly knowledge like a lot of us do, but we don't ever get the revelation of the kingdom knowledge. If you ever get the revelation of the kingdom knowledge, then you don't suffer anymore. You don't allow yourself to be, well, I'm a victim. No, I'm not a victim. I'm an overcomer because of the blood of the Lamb.
It's interesting, as you guys talk, you obviously have now been discipled.
Yes.
You know the word. You have a solid foundation as you talk, like you've matured spiritually.
Yes.
Talk to our listeners that haven't experienced that. What should they do? How do they get discipled? And talk about how that happened for you guys.
Discipleship is where the freedom is found. That's how you experience the newness of who you become in an instant over a lifetime. So get in a Bible-based teaching church. Take notes of the sermon that the pastor is preaching. Take those notes home, especially the scripture references, and say, Lord, speak to me. Start there instead of the confusion of where do I start in the Bible? What do I do in the Word? So some practical things were I knew I had to get rid of my old people, places, and things, which is the power of influence. It will take you down every time. It's a setup of the enemy. You cannot become new, like my husband said, by bringing in the old. You just can't do it. So I had to position myself in uncomfortable places, such as meeting with Christian women, putting myself out there, going to church events, going to Christian events, going to places I was not comfortable with at first, and stepping out there and introducing myself and allowing myself to be taught and mentored.
What do you mean by, like, it was uncomfortable at first?
Because I was living in the world so strongly. I mean, I was going to the club, and I was confused by, what do you mean you don't sleep with somebody before you get married to them? How will you know them?
And did you feel like an outsider?
I felt like an outsider. I felt like they were too good for me. I felt like there is no way I could be as good as these Christian women, or they would judge me, or there's no way I could tell my story because I'm just so bad and I've gone down so far. Does God even love women like me? I had a lot of questions.
Yeah.
But discipleship brought me the truth to those answers and healed me and restored me and empowered me. Discipleship is the walk of faith that the Word of God is poured into you. And it's the avenue, it's the gateway, it's the way you experience the newness of who you are. And without doing that, you will never get to experience the richness of Christ that you received the moment you came to salvation.
You know, one of the questions that is still in my mind as I hear about you talk about the growth process through discipleship, which is so critical. And honestly, as a pastor for 30 years, so many in our church never take that step.
Oh,
they really don't get discipled. And it's really on us. We have to decide to pursue that. And God will bring the people.
He will.
We got to pursue it. But one of the things that, you know, I'm just got to ask you is about forgiveness. Because when you think about your background, and I had a dad who walked out when I was six, and I struggled for 3 decades to forgive him. Not even realize I've got a journey I have to take. You talk about it in your book, and I was, man, when I read that, what you said, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm going to read, you said, God didn't tell me to forgive my father. He told me to ask my father to forgive me. When I read that, I'm like, what?
Yes.
So walk us through this journey, because then you also talk about going to your kids and asking for forgiveness.
Yes,
so.
It was an incredible journey that God walked me through, you know, after saving me. And I remember I was going to preach at a men's prayer breakfast on a Saturday morning, and God spoke to me on a Friday night. I was in California. He says, I want you to go down and I want you to go see your father. He's in the hospital, because my brother had told me. And he said, go see him and ask your father for forgiveness. I want you to ask him to forgive you for keeping him out of your career, your life, the grandkids and everything. And I was like, are you serious, Lord? And I called my wife and I told her, I said, you need to pray for me. God is all over me this Friday. Now I can't go to sleep and I got to do this men's prayer breakfast. He wanted me to go forgive my father. And she said, well, you need to do exactly what he said. And I did. I woke up that Sunday morning and I went to the hospital and I saw him. And he said, I remember God saying, don't say anything about what he did to you. And I get there, and I says, how you doing? And I just see him, and we're just having a conversation, me and my brother there having a conversation. I said, you know, the Lord has changed my life, and I'm a different person now. And I said, would you forgive me for keeping you out of my life and my career? And a tear came down his eye, and he shook his head and said, yes. And I just lost it. I just laid in his lap, and I just lost it. I just laid there. I was weeping so hard and just saying, I'm so sorry. And I just remember the Lord said, raise up. And he says, now lead him in the center prayer.
Wow.
And there I was. I said, would you like to accept the Lord over your life? And he said, yes. And I said, repeat after me and lead him in the center prayer. And I just remember God saying, how dare you not forgive him? And I forgave you. See, we have to understand grace. You know, he gave me grace. Why wouldn't I give him grace? And then I just remember God just saying to me, the forgiveness was not for your father. The forgiveness was for me. He said, you stayed broken all those years because you wouldn't forgive. And I just cried. I cried driving home, and I was just, but I just remember through that whole process how God, I told Tracy how God just released me after I did that to my father, you know, asked him to forgive me. He released me. He set me free. I was a totally different person. He took me to a whole nother level. I thought I was just at this level. Okay, God, I'm doing your work. But God was like, no, you were doing my will, but you still had some things that I needed to get out of you.
Yeah. So he passed knowing Jesus.
Yes, he passed 6 months later. Yeah, he passed like 6 months later. He goes on home to be with the Lord.
And what about your siblings?
I end up leading all them to the Lord, you know.
About your mom.
Yeah. Yes, because she told me. My mom said, oh, you're going to do it. She says, you're going to do it. God already spoke to me. You're going to be the one to do it. Everybody's going to come in line. I remember my sister Regina was dying. And at the age of 51, she had cancer. She was in a hospital in California. I was going to ministry somewhere. And God said, get to California. He says, I want you to get everybody out of the room. And I want you to go in there. And I want you to go lead her to me. It was the hardest thing I had to do.
Really?
And she was my favorite sister. Yeah, it was the hardest thing I had to do. And he says, I want you to go lead her. He goes, she's going to die. He says, but I want you to lead her to me. And I go in there and everybody's around. And the first thing I say, everybody got to get out for a minute. I got to talk to Regina. I said, Regina, you know, the Lord has saved me. I said, are you ready? She said, yes. She said, go ahead, lead me. And I led her in the center prayer and she accepted. And she was like, oh God, I'm glad that's over. And it was the hardest thing I had to do because me and her was like this, you know.
Yeah.
And there was leading her. And then Tracy takes her and says, Tracy flies in. She says, I'm going to take her back home to St. Louis with us because they were talking about she couldn't travel. Tracy says, I'm taking her. And she goes on and she takes her and she takes care of her while I'm on the road traveling doing ministry. And she passes away in our house in St. Louis. Wow. So, yeah.
And Tracy, what about your boys?
My boys are amazing. I'm restored to all three of my boys. Have an incredible relationship with my kids.
Yeah.
God is so good. We just have to trust him. We just have to trust him, even in the places and not knowing places and not being able to understand. And even watching my boys go through severe challenges because of the choices I made and decisions I've made. God has also now used me as the restoration agent to bring them to him and to bring them into that healing process because I know that process well. I understand their pain. And God is so good that he would put me in the position from what I took for them, that he would use me as the one that would give it back to them, but in a greater way.
Yeah.
That story is full of a lot of story, but God is that good. He's incredible. He's unbelievable.
And it is amazing. And it took me years to understand that he often uses our pain to point us to our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And the pain that you, and a lot of it was self-inflicted.
Yes.
A lot of our pain is self-inflicted. Even then, we make these horrible choices. God forgives, God restores, God empowers. Mm-hmm. And he says, that very valley you walk through, that darkness, is going to be the thing I'm going to use for your future.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if you've ever heard this quote, Daryl, when I was trying to forgive my dad, I was reading this forgiveness book by Lewis Smedes, and he says, when you forgive someone, you set a prisoner free, only to discover you're the prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so
and
true.
I remember when I read that, I thought I'd locked my dad up. You don't deserve to be in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I locked myself up.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't be free to be the man God called me to be. And I'm hearing your story thinking, wow.
Yep.
When you were set free, and you said it wasn't even about your dad, it was about you. When you were set free, look what he did after that, and he's still doing. You are free to be used by God in a powerful way. I can't imagine what your future looks like. Seriously, I think it's just the beginning.
You guys are amazing.
Of your impact and ministry in the world.
Thanks for being with us, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
I have to think there may be somebody who's been listening today who thinks my situation, the mess I've made of my life, I'm beyond God's ability to help, to pull me out of the ditch I'm in. And I think what we've heard from Daryl and Tracy Strawberry today is that nobody is beyond God's mercy, God's grace, God's redemption. God doesn't just save us so that we'll be with him forever. God saves us so that eternal life can begin for you right now. New life in Christ can begin for you right now. There is help and there is hope. Daryl talks about that in his book, Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. And it's a book we've got in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order your copy from us online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call to order at 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, the book is called Turn Your Season Around by Daryl Strawberry. Order online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Now, as we get down to the last few days of August, for the last few weeks, we've been asking you to prayerfully consider becoming a monthly supporter of Family Life, what we call a legacy partner. David Robbins, who's the president of Family Life, is here with me. And David, help our listeners understand how vital and how important legacy partners are to the ongoing work of this ministry.
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I am so grateful to be able to meet many legacy partners as I travel and do different events. And it is just such a joy to meet people who are faithful listeners as time allows and space allows in their life, and also partners to help get the message of the gospel and the ways of Jesus that can thrive in a home and help families flourish, to get those to as many people as possible. And so I'm just so grateful for you who are currently legacy partners and give in an ongoing way. It's that ongoing support that allows us to know what's coming in so that we can plan accordingly and get these great messages around marriage and family to as many people as possible. You really are an engine to help fuel our mission of effectively developing godly families who change the world one home at a time. It's the last week of August, and we would invite you to become a legacy partner and be a part of the team that is taking this to homes that may not know the hope of Jesus.
And as many of our listeners know, what we've been hoping for, praying for this month, is that in every city where Family Life Today is heard, there might be two families who would step forward and say, we want to be a part of the team that makes Family Life Today possible in our community. And if you would be one of those two, if you'd contact us today and say, I want to join you as a legacy partner, we're going to send you some thank you gifts, a certificate to attend a Weekend to Remember Marriage getaway as our guests. You can pass that along to someone else if you'd like. We'll send you Dave and Ann Wilson's new book, No Perfect Parents, and exclusive access to messages from Dave and Ann. All of that is our way of saying thank you for your partnership with us in the Ministry of Family Life Today. You can connect with us online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. And thanks in advance for praying about this and considering joining with us as a legacy partner. And we hope you have a great weekend. Hope you and your family are able to worship together in your local church this weekend. And I hope you can join us on Monday when we're going to talk about betrayal and about broken trust and how we can rebuild a relationship when that has happened, and how we forgive a person who has betrayed us. Lisa Turkhurst joins us on Monday for that conversation. We hope you can join us as well. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life, a Crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.